Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
From the creation narratives of Genesis, we realize that sin quickly enters into the world. It disfigures everything. It wounds us, made in the image and likeness of God. It turns us against each other. Adam points the finger at Eve. Eve points the finger at the serpent. Serpent doesn't have fingers. Buck stops there. They get kicked out of the garden even. Even nature turns against them, and now they have to till the soil. And there's rancor and contention, and there's rivalry and envy and spite. Cain kills his brother Abel. It's the sad legacy of sin and death entering into the world. Sin is always a rebellion. Sin is always a rebellion against God, God's will, God's ways, God's order, God's plans, God's design. And inevitably, when you push back against life itself, what do you choose but pain and suffering and destruction and ultimately death? It's just how it goes by nature. We sometimes kid ourselves that our sins aren't that big a deal and it's really not hurting anybody else. But like ripples in the pond, sins have their own way of bearing bad fruit and sometimes right down the generational line. And so, God doesn't want to put up with that. He doesn't want his creation marred, ultimately. We're created in the image and likeness of God. We're created to shine like the stars in the sky. We're created to be saints. The Lord wants to heal us. The Lord wants to recreate, to transform, to make new, a new heavens and a new earth. And so we get to celebrate this theme that we see all throughout salvation history, this theme of renewal, this theme of transformation, and even reflect on how that even changes how we look at suffering and the crosses of life, that we can maybe even see them now as part of God's plan of redemption, part of our own conversion, maybe the atonement for our sins, part of our learning process, and ultimately part of our salvation. In the Old Testament, we see signs of renewal, sometimes painfully, Noah and the flood, the parting of the Red Sea, but also God transforming the difficulties of Israel and providing for them in ways that are beyond their expectation. Times of the Exodus, when they're in a dry and barren land, and the Lord rains manna, food from heaven, for 40 years, brings water from the rock, provides for them in an area that would not provide for them, would not sustain them. The Lord transforms their journey to get them to the promised land. Our first reading comes from that period. It was a contentious period. There was a lot of complaining. We've been on long car trips. Have you ever been the kid in the back seat? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You can only imagine the challenges. They're doing this all on foot. And so they're complaining for the umpteenth time. They're rebelling against Moses. They're rebelling against God. They're literally asking to go back to slavery and death in Egypt so that they can eat better, And the Lord tries to show them in a very visceral and tangible way that they're choosing their destruction. And he allows them to be attacked by serpents. And then when they repent, when they cry out to the Lord shows them their sin and makes that the sign of their healing. Moses, make a bronze serpent and mount it on a pole. And it's not for worship purposes, it's not that kind of graven image, but it shows them their sin, that they have to face the source of their affliction in faith as part of their repentance. And in that, then they recover and survive. And Jesus alludes to that very episode in the book of Numbers as he explains to Nicodemus, still in a rather cryptic way, that the Son of Man too will be raised on a pole, speaking about his crucifixion on Good Friday, out of love. And like that bronze serpent on the pole, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we look at his passion and his saving death in faith, we look at him as the innocent one who takes on all the sins of the world, the sins of the guilty. In that moment of faith, Jesus' mercy and forgiveness become ours. And we find healing. And we find a way that opens us up to the promised land, the true promised land, not of this world, but of the world to come, of heaven. So Jesus uses that image of transformation as a foreshadowing of what his ultimate plans and purpose are. And yes, when we get to the New Testament, there's all sorts of transformations. Water into wine at the wedding at Cana. What an opening miracle. In vast quantities. More than they should consume at a party, frankly. Loaves and fish into quantities that would feed a multitude with food to spare. And ultimately, the sign of that new and eternal covenant inaugurated on Holy Thursday at the Last Supper, which we celebrate as a perpetual memorial in every Mass, bread and wine becoming his body broken, his blood outpoured for us, the sign of his covenant, the sign of his passion and his death, a font of mercy for the world. Every time we celebrate Mass, we pray for the salvation of the world. It's a celebration of Jesus's self-offering, God the Son to God the Father, transforming our world, redeeming and renewing the face of the earth. And even in that, in his passion, and especially because we're reading John's gospel today, John the apostle tries to make that image of renewal and transformation clear, that this is a covenant. This is a marriage of humanity and divinity. Jesus is the bridegroom laying down his life for the bride. This is a good thing. This is why we can say it's Good Friday, even though it's full of suffering and loss and confusion and pain, that what comes of this is the salvation of the world. It's the beginning of something new. And that nuptial language speaks of Jesus as a new Adam, just as the original Adam and Eve, by their disobedience, brought sin into the world, and with sin, death and suffering and pain and loss and all of that disorder. So Jesus, as the new Adam, by his obedience, brings life and order and harmony and completion and healing to the nations. And if that couldn't be any clearer, we see after Jesus' death, the centurion by his lance opens the side of Jesus, opens a way to the God the Father through his heart, and pierces him right through the rib, which is such a reminder of the original Adam, who from his rib came forth his bride, Eve. And when Jesus is pierced by the lance, blood and water flow forth, which shows the images of the sacraments of initiation. Water, the image of baptism, washing souls clean from sin, baptizing them into Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The blood of the new and eternal covenant we celebrate in the Eucharist, the blood which is the lifeblood of souls, making us one body, one blood, one family in Christ, making us the bride of Christ, the church. And if that wasn't obvious enough, Jesus is laid in a tomb, and John describes it as a garden tomb. It's a tomb in a garden. Why does he use that language figuratively? He's reminding us of the Garden of Eden, where it all began. And here it begins again, in a garden with an empty tomb on Easter Sunday. New life, resurrection, hope, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a sharing of God's divine life, the gift of the church to share that good news and our witness, to reach out to our world in its brokenness and its confusion and its loss and its bitterness and anger, and to say there is hope. And it doesn't mean that Jesus is going to take all of our crosses away. No, because crosses are redemptive. If we took all the crosses away, we would imperil our salvation. We tend to learn more from our sufferings than from our successes. In fact, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, we're made in the image and likeness of love itself. To come to the perfection of love entails sacrifice. It will entail some suffering, some loss, some anxiety, some heartbreak. You really can't remove the cross and love deeply. It just doesn't work that way. Love will at some point leave you vulnerable. But the Lord transforms the meaning of our crosses, our brokenness, as an atonement for our sins, as an atonement for the sins of the world, as a sacrifice, as an opportunity to understand and walk along with our brothers and sisters in their pain and their loss and their sufferings, to have an empathy for them, an understanding for them, to find Jesus in the distressing disguise of the poor. As he says in Matthew 25, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. To even yoke up with Christ, as he says, my cross is easy, my burden light. The cross is redemptive. It's transformative. It is no longer just a sign of sin and death, of loss. It is now a sign of hope. It is a sign of redemption. It is a sign of great mercy and a special love, a special divine love that is beyond any accounting of our math, an infinite love, a divine love. And so in this celebration of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, as we come before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, as we come to celebrate this Eucharist, and any time we come to Mass, please remember, bring your brokenness, bring your emptiness, bring your doubts, bring your confusion, bring your sinfulness, bring your pain, bring your suffering, bring your trials, bring your crosses. Spiritually lay them before the altar in faith. Lord, I give this to you, my brokenness, my pain, my suffering, my confusion, my questions. And I lay this before you that the Lord might transform it. Nail it to the cross. Say it in your own words. The Lord will understand. Lord, I give you my pain. I give you my crosses. Transform them. Make them salvific for me. Bring me from my Good Fridays of life to Easter Sunday, that I might be with you in the resurrection, to rise to new life in this world so as to be with you in the next. May the crosses of life bring us to heaven. In Jesus' name we pray.